Good morning, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to CPFL Energia's third quarter of 2012 earnings conference call. Today with us, we have Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr., CEO of CPFL Energia, and other officers of the company. This call is being broadcasted simultaneously on the internet at the investor relations website of CPFL Energia, cpfl.com.br/ir, where you can also find the presentation for download. We inform that all participants will be in listen-only mode during the call. Afterwards, we will have a question and answer session when further instructions will be given. Should you need assistance during the call, please press star zero to reach the operator. I would like to mention that this call is being recorded. Before proceeding, we would like to mention that forward-looking statements that are being made are made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of CPFL Energia's management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may also affect the future results of CPFL Energia and may lead to results that differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Now, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. Mr. Ferreira, you may proceed.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I would like to thank you for your presence and for your presence, all investors and analysts, during our third quarter of 2012 earnings conference call. I would like to start with page number three, where we have the highlights for the third quarter of 2012, starting with the growth in our sales in the concession area, a 1% growth. In this quarter, we have 2 days less in our revenue timeline. Normalizing this, we will be talking later about that, and this would mean almost 3% growth if we adjust this. Also the commercial startup of the Santa Clara wind farms, which occurred in July. I would like to mention that due to negotiations with the agency, in spite of the fact that the farms are not connected to the network, to the grid, because of delays in the ECG, we are already receiving the resources and billing for the wind farms in Rio Grande do Norte. I would like to highlight the acquisition of the Esther power plant, and we have already published a material information, and September 28th, we paid out the dividends of 640 million reais on September 28th. In the normal course of our activities from the investment viewpoint, 660 million reais in Q3, very much aligned with our estimates, our annual estimates. I would like to highlight the conclusion of the first tariff review of Piratininga distribution company of the group, with results that are very close to the ones that we had already informed the market, and that corresponded to an economic repositioning of 7.7% post tariff review. The annual tariff review applied on October 28th. I would like to talk about the maintenance of the credit score of BR+ by Standard & Poor's for CPFL Energia and for the subsidiaries of the group at the national scale. Maybe due to this moment of the market, a very important moment of a average daily trading volume in our stock, both in the Brazilian market and by means of our common stock and also ADRs in the U.S. market, we reached an average daily trading volume of 50.1 million reais and many other recognitions for the company, for the group in this last quarter. I would like to highlight the Você S.A. survey about the best companies to work for for more than 10 years we have been participating in this important survey carried out by this magazine. And two awards, two new awards. The first one that we get, the first one, the Epoca Climate Change Award of 2012, and especially the Epoca Business 360 Degrees. And the company ranked first in the sector and the third in the general ranking, and the first survey involving not only economic results, but also corporate governance and the treatment that the company gives to sustainability and human resources and strategy. So this award is very much encompassing from the viewpoint of evaluation. It is more encompassing than the others. So we were very happy to get this recognition for the first time for CPFL in this list. And finally, the Carbon Disclosure Project report that highlighted the company due to its performance and the disclosure about our CO2 emissions. Very well. On page number 4, we have the energy sales in the third quarter. On the left, we see sales of our accounting release, and we see a 2.7 drop in the captive market and 11.1% increase in what would be the free market in the concession area, giving a total of 1%, highlighting a very important move here in Q3, the migration of free consumers, but also the fact that we are comparing these quarters to the number of days billed, which is lower in Q3 2012. On the right, we see the volume already normalized in order to allow us to compare the segments, and this is important. And based on that, we have a 2.8% growth, and the captive market 3.2%, and the free market 1.8% growth. And let's talk about the lower part of the slide, the sales in the concession area, highlighting the behavior of each one of the segments. So you can see here, and this is already in a normalized base, 5% increase in the residential market, 5.9% increase in the commercial segment. So both sectors quite strong, and this moment in our economy is very positive for these two segments, and it is also positive for discos, as the segment is a low-voltage segment, and from the viewpoint of tariff mix, we have the best tariffs in the portfolio of the concessionaire. And a slight upturn in the industrial segment, 0.8%, and the other segments with 2.1% increase. On the right, on the lower right, you see the configuration and the effects stemming from the 2.4 to 2.8 between residential and commercial reported and the adjusted amounts that I have already referred to, 5% residential and 5.9% for commercial. On the upper part, total energy sales billed by the company to our consumers. So reported, we have the 9,795 gigawatt hours captive, a 2.7% drop year on year, and 10.3% increase in the free and conventional for outside the group. And finally, the higher participation due to the startup of many plants of CPFL Renováveis, reaching almost 1,000 gigawatt hours. So in the comparison of this quarter to the same quarter last year, we see a growth in energy sales of 6.2%. So the sales results are important. It is a moment of recovery of our economy, and we will be talking about that in detail later on. On page 5, we have a comparison. Accounting-wise, we grew less than Brazil, 1% vis-à-vis 1.8%, and a positive highlight for the Southeast in our concession areas. We were higher than the average for the Southeast and negative in the South, where we had 1.5% growth vis-à-vis 3.3% for the South region as a whole. And on the lower part, as you know, we work with LCA consultants who draw our scenario. So the expectation is that over this quarter, we will see a major recovery in industrial production which will naturally mobilize our sales up by the end of the fourth quarter of this year. On the next few slides, we are trying to give you the scenario that is the basis for our positive outlook for the fourth quarter. With the whole set of measures established by the government that we understand one way or another will drive energy sales in the different segments where we operate. Some measures to offset the crisis, the reduction of the IPI tax for home appliances and vehicles, and with the maintenance of these incentives, reduction of the IPI for capital goods, and the postponement of the deadline for the tax payment, the PIS and COFINS tax payment. So this is all positive for the recovery of the industrial segment. Structural measures that are perennial, investments in new projects and stimuli for the infrastructure. We're living an important moment of construction of roads, energy, oil and gas, and the Minha Casa Minha Vida program. We will see the volume of financing increasing very steeply. The new automotive regime recently put in force, and the pre-salt and the sporting events. We are on the brink of the Confederations Cup and almost getting to the World Cup already, and other measures that certainly will incorporate competitiveness. MP, the provisional measure 579, due to the reduction of energy costs, will be important, mainly for industry and commerce. The unburdening of the payroll for 40 sectors, the fall of interest rates and spreads, and more competitive exchange rate being maintained around 2 reals per dollar, and a greater fiscal gap allowing us to see a tax burden reduction. And one important fact that we have in this table is the investments in infrastructure. For the sixth consecutive year, we see an upward curve as a percentage of the GDP, and in 2004 it was 0.8, and in 2011, 2.4%, threefold increase. And an important evidence of that, although we have been evolving less than we would like, but the fact is that in 2007, in the competitiveness ranking of the World Economic Forum, we ranked 72nd. In 2011, 53rd, and this year, 48th, a slight improvement. And this is a permanent trend that stems from the structural measures that our government has been taking. And as a synthesis, on page 7 of these structural measures as growth drivers, 17 million new jobs created in the last 8 years, reduction of poverty and social inequality, social mobility, 55% middle class in 2011, so expansion of income, credit, and more access to the consumption of durable goods, a real increase of 63% of the minimum wage. I was talking about housing loans, and we reached 80 billion last year. We have already had 61 billion this year, and we will close the year with 100 billion reals being in housing loan approvals. All this has an impact on household consumption. And in the case of the lower part, lower right, the number of new connections being made in the concession area of CPFL, which is already a consolidated and mature area. In 2009, we connected 2.2% of vegetative growth per year. This meant 134,000 new connections in this area, which was already unified. The age distribution companies already belonged to the CPFL Energy Group, and this meant 130,000 new clients being added, or 2.2% of the existing platform at the time. This year, looking at the performance until September, we have already connected 215,000 this year, 3.3% increase on the client base of the company. So certainly you can see that there is a differentiated dynamics here. We will practically connect twice the number of consumers that we connected about 3 years ago. And on the upper part, this is the synthesis of the slide, which is the outlook for household consumption. In 2010, Brazil reached the eighth position in the world ranking with 2.2 trillion reals. And stemming from this moment that we are living in the Brazilian economy, the expectation is that we should reach the end of the decade in 2020, in 8 years' time, with 3.5 billion reals, or the fifth position in the international ranking for household consumption, 3.5. And with a higher number of connections and the real growth that we see basically in the residential and the commercial segments. So you can see that all these data have a positive bearing on the volume of sales of the concessionaries. And okay, so having said that, let's turn to page 8, where we start to talk about the results of Q3. As we usually do, on the first line, we have the results reported in IFRS, and we can see a 16% growth in our revenues, net revenues reaching 3,454,000,000, and EBITDA growth of 9.2%, exceeding 1 billion reals, and a drop in net income of 15.2%, reaching 321 million reals. It is important to stress here, and you track this, and we always talk about that in our releases, that stemming from the application of the IFRS, we see an important move, and which is not recognized, of regulatory assets and liabilities. And in order to facilitate the work of our analysts and also to facilitate the management of the company, we also report the recurrent results of the company, net of the effects of regulatory assets and liabilities, such as we had before in the Brazilian GAAP, coming from the incorporation of the CVA. And here we have a better basis for comparison between and among quarters and the real performance of the company. And according to this method, we see a 14.3% increase in net revenues, an important change in our EBITDA, reaching almost 19%, 1,184,000,000, and the net income would be slightly positive by 6.1%, reaching 425 million reals. And we have a very clear idea of these movements. And on the lower part, on the left, we have the effect in EBITDA, and here net income. In EBITDA, we have a difference in the cost of energy for Vipaz in 2010. At the time, it was a non-recurrent effect, the recognition that we had, and it was highlighted in that quarter and put in our release to facilitate your understanding. And finally, the recognition of the revenue from the low-income subsidy, as you can see, and some negative recognitions as well, coming from the application of the new accounting method for the electric sector and 17 million reals excess here in Piratininga, the adjustment in our allowance for doubtful accounts, and we became a little bit more conservative in this. We are reinforcing our contingencies of 54 million here. Then we have the positive and the negative effect of the physical inventory of our distribution assets last year. We saw a reversal in our provision, and this year now we already recognized the costs with this inventory. And this is a non-recurrent event because it is recognized in the tariff review of the distribution companies. And finally, other adjustments, negative adjustments by 3 million last year and 3 positive here this year. So stemming from these non-recurrent events, for the two quarters, we have 32 positive last year, 55 negative this year. But we must recognize another two elements which are important. The first one is the temporary procedure of distribution companies, particularly in the case of Piratininga and the five smaller concessionaries that we have in São Paulo State, the tariff review, they didn't have the tariff review in the previous year, so 56 million reals recognized now. And when we have the reviews, we will be working recognizing this over the next 3 years. And of course, the account that has a more intensive movement and that sometimes gives us a different idea from what it should be in the recurring results of the company, the CV or the regulatory assets and liabilities, 141 million reals favorable to the company. So this brings to the difference that we mentioned, adding the two lines of the non-recurrent and the regulatory assets and liabilities of 139 million added to the result of what would be the third quarter in our EBITDA, or 104 in the result of our net income. Very well. So now let's go to page number 9 and evaluating the EBITDA and the net income of the company. So on the outer part, we have the 18.9% growth that already includes the recognitions, be it of the non-recurrent effects or the regulatory effects. So 39 million on the left. So we reported an EBITDA of 956 million in Q3 2011, when in fact it should have been 996, and the same in this quarter. We are reporting 1,044 being reported this quarter when, driven by the recurrent movements in the regulation, of the regulatories, we would have something close to 1,184. So this is just for a comparison between the reported values, a 9.2% growth, 956 to 1,044, 956 to 1.044. And here you have the growth in the net revenue, 476 million reals, to a great extent due to the increase of the net sales to the captive market and the adjustment, tariff adjustment itself of 4.3% that we saw between the quarters over the last year, amounting to 53 million reals. We also see the increase in the volume of short-term energy, 20% growth, or 62 million, and the TUSD revenue of 9.7% coming from the movement of fee consumers over this period. We see the increase in other revenues amounting to 26 million, and the highlight, I have already made the disclaimer, of the low income subsidies, and this is non-recurrent, as I said before. Then we have the effect of consolidation of the PFL Renováveis, 170 million, and conventional generation and commercialization and services, an additional 66 million reals. Deductions from revenues, basically the reduction in the sector charges and the PIS/COFINS tax credits that in the last quarter we already made this disclaimer to you, amounting to 72 million. Now we have an increase in the energy costs and charges, even higher percentage-wise than the growth of our net revenues. So here we see a 19.2% increase in the purchase of energy for resale, 246 million, a 10.7% increase in charges, 38 million. In a quarter-over-quarter comparison, it is important to say that due to the provisional measure in January or February, we will see a reduction, an excessive reduction in these charges. And it is important to say that the increase in the cost of energy is due to the variation in the value of the PLD from 20 reals to 31 reals, and mainly involving thermal energy, the average spot price. We see an increase of 26.9% in the PMSO expenses on the next slide, as the management of PMSO is really a specialty of our group, so that we do not have the wrong interpretation. We make a disclaimer in the next page showing that what seemed to be 104 million growth in fact corresponds to a drop of 4 million reals, or 1.1%. So you can see the reported value in IFRS, 386 million, a 26.9% increase, or 104 million, reaching a reported value of 490 for Q3. And I would like to stress that these amounts, we have a whole set of events that should be better clarified. The first one is the CPFL Renováveis upward curve. We had 25 million the previous year, and we have 49 million now. This is the growth of the company that corresponds exactly to twice the volume of energy generated and installed. So a company and a growth curve. And naturally, it should be highlighted even further in the comparison of our expenses. And on the other hand, we have the report of the distribution companies. We had a reversion in the previous year, and this year we placed 2 million reais in this quarter. And finally, last year, I think you remember that because we were at the end of the incentive program to retirement, so we had 3 million reais more, totally non-recurrent. And this year, driven by the tariff review procedures, we had not only the 15 million in the asset write-off and the accounting manual, as I said before, but we also made the reinforcement of our provisions amounting to 54 million. So we made the disclaimer, but in order to be able to compare the 376, we should compare with the 382, which generates a 1.1% drop in this cost. And in order to make it even more clear, on page 11, we show you in detail our personnel expenses and materials and services and others on a quarterly basis. So you can see on the first line, on the upper line, you can see the amount, the reported amount on a nominal base. So in blue, we always see our expenses in personnel, and in green, material, services, others, and third parties. So here you can see a 2.2% growth in Q1, comparing Q1 2011 to Q1 2012. And you see a drop here in Q2 and 1.1% drop between third quarters, third quarter 2011 and third quarter 2012. It is true that in this period we see a growth in the IGPM, as you can see on the lower part, of 3.7%, comparing the first quarters, 4.4% comparing the second quarters, and 7.5% in the third quarter's comparison. So if we normalize based on the effect of the IGPM, we can see that in the Q1 we see a drop of 9 million in payroll and a 3 million growth in MSO on a real base. And comparing the second quarters, also stemming from the important reduction due to our retirement program, we see a 40 million reduction in MSO and zero in personnel, already producing the expected results in the third quarters, a drop in personnel of 10 million, MSO dropping by 22 million, 78 million reduction overall in PMSO on a real base in a comparison of the nine first months of this year vis-à-vis the nine first months of last year. And I would like to remind you that we had an expectation of reduction in the real base of personnel around 25 million reais, and our estimate was 50 million reais due to the application of the ZBB and something similar to that due to the application of our shared services center. The year hasn't reached an end, but we have already reached almost 80 million in nine months, and this expectation of 120 million will be very close. The final result will be very close to that. So this is very important for you to understand based on the IGPM and the IGP IGPM and inflation that are on the upper range of the targets. So it was important for me to mention this to you.
Next, on page 12, we have a breakdown of our net income. So we'll be breaking down not only the 6% growth, but the drop by 15%. And primarily, it stems from our growth in our EBITDA, 9.2%, as I've just described, of 82 million reais, and also a reduction of 15% in the financial result on a net basis, which was negative at 31 million. That's the second bar. Basically, here we have a reduction of financial revenues at 62 million reais. Obviously, there is an important reduction in CDI and the balance of the company, the net balance of the company. Still very vigorous, but lower as a result of the company's acquisition using part of its cash. And on the other hand, we have a reduction in financial expenses at 7.3%, or 31 million reais. This total amount, here we highlight that actually there is a significant reduction, the contribution of CDI reduction in our financing account for 60% approximately. So we have 66 million reduction in our expenses, financial expenses, and also lower expenses with Itaipu billing back to exchange rate at 25 million reais, and consolidation of CPFL Renováveis. Now we are the controlling party with 69 million reais, and a non-recurring event related to interest and penalty over payments related to the integration of Paulista Network amounting to 20 million for the integration of these assets in the net base of the company for tariff review purposes next year. These amounts have to be considered until October this year. So that was provisioned this quarter. Update of the plant's UBP, we started mentioning this last month, so that's only a quarter-on-quarter comparison, and also increased appreciation and amortization stemming from depreciation of generation projects at Renováveis, startup and resulting depreciation, and changes in posting of PIS/COFINS, as we mentioned last quarter, with a new procedure adopted by the company. Our surplus is 20 million lower for pension funds. It's still a surplus, but 20 million lower compared to the first quarter of last year, and also as a result of the reported income. There is a decrease in income tax and social contribution. As a result, this quarter, our net income reported in IFRS is 321 million reais, also stemming from the net result of non-recurring events, particularly regulatory assets and liabilities. Our recurring income is 425 million reais this quarter. Moving to page 13, leverage 12.7 million reals, billion reals at adjusted net debt, 2.94 times the net debt to EBITDA ratio on an adjusted basis by our covenants. Please note this amount is comparable to covenants with 3.75. And from the moment CPFL adopted that measure in all its financing, that's the result we have. And this is, well, only on the reported basis, our EBITDA. The reported EBITDA with this debt would amount to 345 by IFRS. But I'd like to stress that the company recognizes, about almost 2 years ago, we mentioned this topic, about the potential volatility in reported amounts under IFRS stemming from the non-consideration of CVA. So we decided to have all our financing, including this index of the adjusted EBITDA amount, which is recurring to the company, therefore at 294. Another highlight is the cost of debt, which keeps on going down, again at 4.5% in real terms, 9.8 on a nominal basis. And with this distribution of 64% in CDI, 27% in long-term interest rate, and already with a relevant stake of 6% in prefixed. So these are PSI programs with a 2.5% interest rate. I'll be addressing that later. IGP amount has to do with the debt we have with the foundation on a long-term financing. IGP is an index of pension plans. Please know that with this net cash position in late September, now we have 2,664. On page 14, we can check the figures more clearly. And now we show the profile of amortization of our debt. The cash amount of the company shows enough coverage for 1.3 times our short-term amortization. In other words, we exceeded 2013, and we paid a little bit of 2014, as shown on the slide. In 2013, we will have 968 in a short term over the next 12 months, and in the last quarter, additional 554. The midterm will be 4.5 years, That's the tenor, and in the short term accounted for almost 12% of the total. This quarter, as you can see on page 15, we also had other funds from BNDES, CINEM for CAPEX, and we also had the approval and disbursement of 606 million reals. And under this format, 55% of the amount is in long-term interest rates plus spread, and 45% prefixed at 2.5. The average cost of the debt is 5.56% per year, and the tenor is up to 10 years maturity. So this is very important because it does change already. We're highlighting this, by the way, because it happens in early October, therefore after the third quarter. But in the first weeks of October, you will see a change in the debt profile, CDI accounting for 62%, long-term interest rate at 22%, and prefixed at 7%. So 35% of our debt taken with long-term BNDES funds. As a result, our cash early this month is already stronger to something around 3.3 billion, and therefore we can have a cash coverage to 1.6 times amortization in a short-term basis, remaining at 1.94. And here the short-term debt accounting for 11.6% only, so slightly below our September position. Now, on page 16, just reporting the review or maintenance of our credit rating at the group level, AA positive. And here we just want to highlight Standard & Poor's rating. Diversification in generation, investment in renováveis, the growth in the contribution of this segment for the CAPEX in the group, stability and efficiency of the distribution business, and proper level of liquidity and good access to long-term credit methods used by the group. So CPFL Energia and its subsidiaries maintain the credit by S&P with a stable outlook over 2012. On page 17, just to break down and report the third cycle of Piratininga Carry Review exactly as we expected. The company had the highest growth in our group. We imagine a tariff review with a reduction in EBITDA, around 30%, and that's exactly what happened. There was a change in the depreciation rate from the provisional to the final value, stemming from the use of a new accounting manual and also depreciation terms, the normal base. 2 billion gross, 2.5 billion reals, the net base is 1.233, and we have WACC before taxes. As a result, the parcel B is 554 million, and that's the amount that is interesting to the distribution company. It is based on that that we can have effective results. Repositioning was about 445, and tariff adjustment subsequently led end consumers or the financial or economic repositioning was 71. Not only the tariff review, but also the use of the adjustment or annual tariff adjustment index, close to 7.71 with 1.08 financial components, 1.5% for low voltage and almost 10% for high voltage. The average effect is 8.79. Next, on page 18, we show our segments and a little bit of the distribution segment challenges. Now we have the first DISCO using the 7.5% WACC, and that will take huge operating efficiency and huge efficiency to allocate capital. I believe this financing that we reported to BNDES is evidence of our actions in that sector. It is a consolidation moment. Brazil is very poorly consolidated. The three top players have 35%, and the consolidated world works at figures higher than 60 or 70%. And now the market is fragmented, but this is a profile of all our distribution companies. Half of them are large, half of them are small distribution companies with less than 1,000 gigawatts per hour, and a higher number of companies in the southeast and south with 42. One of the challenges for distribution, they have to do with operation and consolidation that will happen in the future. On page 19, we report a very low effect, virtually insignificant when it comes to the use of MP579. When it comes to distribution, less than 3% of the group accounts for renewals at distribution companies with excellent operating indicators. And the economic effect, at least MP579, does not reach distribution companies, particularly because they are in significant processes to reduce the regulatory WACC. It already happened for distribution companies. Please bear in mind that owing to the three tariff review processes, the companies had a reduction of 42% in Parcel B, or when it comes to distribution tariffs. This efficiency is possible thanks to processes properly done by the agency. And on the other hand, we have two small hydro plants that were included in distribution companies, and they account for less than 1% of our installed capacity. And they will be the subject of the application of MP579, establishing a tariff for these generation companies in order to amortize them. Not only will we start to think about renewal of concessions as of 2027 with privatized distribution companies, and as of 2032 or 35 with our generation companies, we are very comfortable in the group as a whole. On page 20, we show a little bit of our expected effects, trying to break them down into three segments: generation, commercialization, and distribution. For conventional generation, what we propose is tariff high enough to cover operating costs plus spread. This spread ends up by incentivizing the efficiency or the efficient operation of these plants. Obviously, there are important challenges in the power plants that are about to be renewed. In addition, we also have amortization of non-depreciated values. Exactly as it happens now with a net base of distribution companies. As to CPFL, obviously, like we said before, concessions are on a long-term basis, maturity as of 2032. Our exposure right now is virtually none. And it's important to stress that we already operate with costs that are lower than the ranges proposed, as we could see in the released by ANEEL last Thursday. As to free market commercialization, renewed energy is cheaper, at least as proposed by MP579, will be exclusively to ACR and the regulated market. Therefore, we have lower prices when it comes to buying distribution companies today. Well, still has to be further assessed once we have the approval or not of all the generation companies, and then we have a clear picture of what might happen to the free market. But if we consider that some of these generation companies could be sold in the free market, it is possible to assume a liquidity restriction, at least a little bit before this anticipation. And the A4 segment, which was migrating with approvals or grace periods of 6 months, now will follow the same rule that we had to the conventional segment. For CPFL, this environment is clearly more competitive. There will be pressure on margins. The company's performance stands out in commercialization, and I believe that sales, particularly for the A4 segment, will be more technical. I also believe that companies that have consolidated or have credibility in the market end up by benefiting, such as CPFL. It will be critical, particularly for smaller consumers, to have good reliability, and that's what our company can add to these potential free consumers. As to distribution, we understand that the rules and requirements for quality performance will be higher. Naturally, there will also be an impact of the change in the contract process and allocation of quotas. We have insisted, and we already have statements by the government, in the sense that an occasional contract will not reach a surplus, which is very important to all of us. Just bear with us for a moment, please. We apologize, the audience. Now, resuming, as to distribution, we have the rules, the new rules and requirements for quality in the sector that will be detailed further on by ANEEL, and any potential changes when it comes to contracts of energy and allocation of this energy vis-a-vis the other distribution companies. To CPFL, what we expect as potential impacts, these are limited impacts, considering we have a low exposure for concessions, particularly lower concessions that will be due in 2015, like Wilson mentioned, that account for 3% of the company's EBITDA. And stronger assets, we have long-term concessions, and the strongest is CPFL Paulista, to be due as of 2027. Wilson is back. This is Wilson again. On page 21, we show the main economic impacts by this measure, particularly when it comes to payroll and inflation. Here we have a potential reduction of inflation rate, possibly 20% reduction, which is something significant to be taken into account inflation-wise. And on the other hand, it might improve distribution mix and more sales for residential and commercial segments. For the industrial activity, the impact of the tariff can have several natures. Some sectors are not so exposed to competition, and therefore they have to work on the margins again. And there are several sectors that may lower their costs to increase competitiveness and gain more market share. So that's what we expect in the industrial segment, increased consumption and lower idleness when it comes to demand contracts. And as of 2014, we'll be maintaining consumption and hiring demand contracts, considering further stimuli to the economy that already require investment in the industrial activity. On page 22, we give you a timeline of the different steps of MP579. Two have already happened, and October 15, the majority of distribution companies show their interest. And the same goes for transmission, and some companies, some generation companies, have not fully complied. but in the statement of interest, we have unanimous positions when it comes to the three segments. On October 1st, we had the drafts of addendums, the release of tariffs, and generation and transmission companies were called to sign these addendums. And this is expected to happen within 30 days or until December 1st. Once we have this posting on December 11, we have the approval of the TUSD numbers stemming from this potential compliance. On January 1st, this new generation and distribution tariff will come into force. And in January 21st, we're going to have the final ratification of quotas to distribution companies, and that's an important move. And we have to wait for generation compliance so we can come to the final quotas to be recognized in an extraordinary decision by distribution companies on February 5th. The schedule is very aggressive, but at least it's the first move. So on the first day of the month, it happened according to our schedule. Now, very briefly, let's move on to the next slide, just to follow our generation project for Renováveis. Over 2013, as you can see, we have a set of projects. Salto Góis plant at 94% concluded. Please know that this is contracted as IFA at 165, already financed by BNDES. And it will be starting up in the first half of the year. Our two TPPs of cogeneration and biomass, Copcana and Alvorada, starting up at the same time at similar stages, one at 38, the other at 41% concluded, financing already approved by BNDES. These plants will get into this, will start up in the second quarter of 2013. Totaling 120 megawatts or 47 average megawatts. Still in 2013, on the next page, we show the startup of our wind farms. Macacos Complex, also LFA, to be analyzed by BNDES. It's for alternative sources. And Campos dos Ventos 2 and Atlântica Complex, both starting up in the second half of 2013. And all the wind farms are today about to be analyzed when it comes to financing by BNDES. So wind farms, Campos dos Ventos and Atlântica Complex, have tariffs for the auction reserve auction, and LFA for 2010 of 152. Next, on page 25, we show Campos dos Ventos 1 and São Benedito. These projects are scheduled to be delivered in 2015, considering the delays we have in our transmission system to be sold in the free market. Additional 254 megawatts to be installed and to start up by 2015. That concludes our presentation. Now, just very briefly on page 26, we show our stock performance. Ever since the issue of the measure, maybe with the clarifications that are being delivered, we show lower volatility. However, over this time frame, we've also been slightly affected, going down 9.3% vis-a-vis 15 from IEE, or a positive variation of Ibovespa at 9. For the year, we perform above Ibovespa and IEE. For ADRs, we also had a drop of 9.8% this quarter, vis-a-vis growth of Dow Jones at 4.3% and positive performance for Dow Jones Brazilian Titans at 2%. Like I said, the highlight is higher volume at 50 million daily, growing 43%. When it comes to daily volume and stock performance, as you can see on the right, our performance is above IEE and above Ibovespa. I conclude on page 27 with this important recognition by the Carbon Disclosure Project in 2012. CPFL was considered, well, has one of the best disclose credit notes or ranks, particularly when it comes to climate changes and a set of assessments to generate value to stakeholders and also unique corporate governance, supplier engagement, innovation, renewable sources, smart grid, the electric car, and so on and so forth. CPFL was mentioned in the report as a highlight, thanks to having described its actions very straightforward with quantitative details. That's something key to all of us. Please bear in mind that CDP gathers about 670 global investors that manage assets of about $78 trillion. So this recognition is particularly important to all of us. Finally, on page 28, this is our centennial month, and we'll be opening Solar de Tensão. Our solar plant will be inaugurated in São Paulo, about 14 million reals, starting up in the fourth quarter or at the end of this month. A power plant in Campinas. All the panels have already been assembled, and they are in the final part of the electrical installation. Please know that the participants of our sixth investor meeting to be held on December 4th, these participants will have the chance to visit the first and the greatest solar plant in the state of São Paulo. These were our remarks, and with my team of officers, we'll all be happy to take your questions. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Now we will start the question and answer session. In order to ask a question, please press star 1. In order to remove your question from the queue, please press star 2. Our first question comes from Mr. Felipe Leal from Merrill Lynch. Mr. Leal? Mr. Leal, we are waiting for your question. Mr. Alexandre Kodak, Citigroup. Good morning, Wilson, Eduardo. My first question has to do with Provisional Measure 579. What about the I4 migration, I4 consumers migration? Did this measure have any impact on your migration and on prices? And what about the effect on the price of conventional energy as well? The second question is the following. I would like to know what you think about the proposal for a public hearing by ANEEL last Thursday, which has to do with the allocation of 100% of the transmission cost stemming from the 579 provisional measure to consumers only. And we know that today it is split half and half, more or less. Thank you. Alexandre, thank you for your question. I will answer the first part, and Fabio, our planning officer, will answer the other. Regarding the A4 migration, the movement is almost imperceptible so far. It is not something to be highlighted right now. Also regarding the price of conventional energy, our expectation to be verified based on the drop of the price of the purchased energy in the DISCOs market is that certainly the cut price and the TUSD of DISCOs will make the break-even for renewable energy to be lower than the one that we estimated or that we saw in the market during this semester. In the same proportion as the drop of the average purchase price of distribution companies before and after the provisional measure, we expect a drop in the same proportion in reals per kilowatt hour around 15. It could reach even 20 megawatt hour. The drop in the purchase price or the competitive price for the free market for special consumers. I had already emphasized that it will be tougher, so sales will be more technical. And also, these consumers didn't have a burden for the entry and the exit of DISCOs. Their movement was quite free, so to say.
in order to benefit from alternative sources. And with this new rule that they will have a five-year term, they will have to do the math, and they will have to have a reliable supplier so that they can do this change in a safer manner. This is where I believe that our group, due to the fact that we have a very big experience with distribution and a safer distribution, commercialization, because we're not speculative, we may have an advantage there. And now I would like to give the microphone to Fabio, our planning officer. Could you repeat the question, please? Fabio, last Thursday, we saw a technical proposal by ANEEL. The proposal is to allocate 100% of the transmission cost deriving from the 579 MP only to final or end customers. And we know this is distributed between generation and distribution. Have you evaluated this technical note? We already expected this to be allocated to the end user so that it could bring about the reduction that the government wants. We didn't expect generation to have any reduction whatsoever, because then you would not be transferring this benefit to the consumers. We are still analyzing the figures, but anyway, we already expected this. Thank you very much. I would like to go back to the previous question, Wilson. Now that you have a five-year term to migrate, it will make a significant difference for you in terms of the incentivized market. We must have long-term, and this would be a second advantage of our operation, because all the bulk that we have in the free market would be allocated into this more technical and more restrictive to consumers. I am sure that we do have this kind of support, and that it will be making a difference for the special consumers in the A4 market.
Mr. Márcio Prado from Santander.
Good afternoon, Wilson. Good afternoon, everyone. I would like to ask a question about the migration of the A4 customers and others maybe to the captive market in order to take advantage of drops in energy prices because of this provisional measure, the 579. Could you talk about the energy balance of the CPFL distribution companies? We see at least in the -3 and -5 auctions, we see that there is an excess contracting of the sector. I would like to know if you and the CPFL have already carried out some simulations of what the 579 means to you and the mandatory allocation of electric energy to the regulated market. There are other factors such as the thermals, and maybe you could say a few words about that.
I'm going to talk about that very superficially. The question is very good, and I place the other officers of the company at your disposal to better clarify. But the view is the following. I also expected potentially an excess contracting, and the only thing I recommend to you is to get to the PSR website, and they are our consultants for this theme, and they have a very clear demonstration that if you're not over-contracted now, and the case of the group's distribution company is exactly this, you will not be over-contracted due to the incorporation of these quotas. You have two different moves here. You have a move that potentially renews concessions, and it is around 12,000 average megawatts, 13,000 megawatts. And on the other hand, you have, just to make it clear, if you consider the replacement amount, that is to say, the amount that distribution companies would have mandatorily to recontract in 2013, this will be done by means of these quotas. But at the same time that you will have, if everybody accepts, you will have 12,000, you will have an exit movement of 3,000 average megawatts or 3,000 and something, which corresponds to Betim's. So if you look at the replacement, it would be 8.5. But something like 3,500 that will be exiting, you will get to exactly the same 12,000 that theoretically will come on board. So we do not expect any excess contracting or over-contracting of distribution companies stemming from these replacement quotas, be it for the replacement amount or the exit or the final exit of the team. On the other hand, in the seminars that we participate in and coordinate, for instance, at Babidibi, I coordinated a module in a seminar 2 weeks ago. We had the participation of the regulator and APA, etc. And they also talked about that, and they said that the movement does not intend to cause an over-contracting, and should this happen, this would be considered in order to transfer this tariff. So we do not expect any negative impact coming from over-contracting. And besides, we do not believe there will be over-contracting. I would like to add something, Luis Wilson. If today we see a migration of clients, electro-intensive clients, A4, to CPFL, in the short run, it would be difficult because you do not have a relevant over-contracting. There wouldn't be a problem in terms of receiving or getting these clients on board. So this is a question. And the second question, I will be more technical here, and maybe we can continue to talk about that after the call. But usually the hedge is about 3%. The provisional measure generated 5% hydrologic hedge. Do you agree with that? And today, it is complicated for the companies, distribution companies, to receive these clients that have to migrate from the free market in the short run. So I would like to confirm how you see this. I would like to better clarify what I said about liquidity. The consumers that have a higher volume of energy traded in the free market are the conventional consumers. They are not the special consumers. In number of clients, they are almost similar, but in volume of energy, the conventional segment is overwhelming, I would say, over more than 80% of the free market is the conventional consumers, and they do not have a way to go back to discos. It is important to stress that. I imagine that the average purchasing price of distribution companies after the effects of the 579, it depends on the disco. We have some simulations where it should be between 110 and 120 reals per kilowatt hour after the effect, and the free market for these large consumers is selling at 100 reals, more or less. So these customers are not going to benefit from this drop in prices. They didn't pay this price in the captive market anyway, and they will continue to pay the same price that they paid in the free market. What occurs is the following. Those who are catering to the market, the conventional market, most possibly are companies. Not only these, but possibly part of these companies that have concessions to be renewed today could be operating in the free market. And these companies, if they adhere to the 579 proposal, that is to say the renewal, they would have to earmark this volume of energy, channeling it to the captive market, to these quotas. And this is what we understand should bring about an impact on liquidity. on the liquidity of the free market, because we will no longer have that backing associated to the free market, and it will be associated to the captive market. This is our expectation regarding the theme of the A4 market that you referred to. I would like to remind you 2 points. When I say that DISCOs are not over-contracted, I would like to mention that most of them, also because of the lower performance of sales this year, they are more on the 103 side than in the middle of the range. And I would like to remind you that although distribution companies have the 3% range, a good planner operates with 1.5 upwards and then 1.5 downwards, not only 3 downwards. And in our group, we operate in such a way as we have our supply between 100 and 103, that is to say 1.1 or 1.5, so that we have leeway in an event. If you operate very close to 103, if a crisis comes, you become over-contracted and you end up losing volume. And the planning process, a more efficient planning process, is the one that positions the company in its purchases between 101.5, more or less, 1.5%. So only in this case, and in this case alone, if you remember what I said, will you see that if there is a move that we do not believe will happen, I would like to stress that, if we see a move of A4 special consumers from the free market to the captive market, depending on the volume, then you would be able to absorb that if you already have 1.5% more volume already contracted in the distribution companies, higher than the efficient intermediary point, in order to absorb these returns of consumers. And besides, the potential effect, as I said before, we cannot say that it's absolute or arithmetic or linear of the amount of contracts plus the drop of Beijing in the amount of quotas. And I do not believe, I repeat, we will see a strong move of return of A4 consumers to concessionaries. And the A4 segment in Brazil, we believe, has between 20 to 30,000 consumers. And in the CCEE, we have a volume that's lower than 1,000. So we are only talking about a handful of consumers that could maybe return. I don't know whether I have answered, but anyway, if you want to talk with our people later after the call, then please feel free to do so. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star 1. Now we would like to close the question and answer period, and I would like to give the floor back to Mr. Wilson Ferreira Jr. for his closing remarks. Very well. Thank you very much for your presence and for your participation in our earnings conference call, and we affirm our belief that we are living a very special moment in our sector, be it due to the perspectives for a recovery of the Brazilian economy. And we wanted to place in our report a whole set of elements to show you that the next few months will be very energy intensive for residential, commercial, and industrial sectors. And we have already gone through the first tariff review process. And the result is very close to what we had planned for. And very clearly, we recognize the good application of the tariff review criteria done by the agency. So I think it is important to stress this. This is a positive datum for the sector. And finally, regarding 579, I would like to mention that we are living an important moment today where the regulatory framework that provided for the reversal of these taxes or the modicity of these assets is occurring as planned and according to schedule. And this month, there will be a strong interaction of society with Congress so that we may get the final approval for this definition that is still lacking for the sector. And I believe that in the next few days, we will be coming to a conclusion of this. And this is very important for the ambitions of CPFL, which is a group that has strong controlling shareholders, long-term controlling shareholders, and that establishes for the company a whole set of ambitions that must be consolidated. And I believe that stemming from this, we will see a movement of consolidation. The company has been preparing itself and been acting with the necessary financial discipline and potentializing all our skills and all our expertise, especially our operational excellence and the capacity to produce energy and to innovate. So we understand these skills of the group will be important in this new moment of the sector. I would like to reiterate our trust in renewable energy. That is a bet that we made about 3 years ago and that materialized more strongly last year with the creation of CPFL Renováveis, and that has been delivering all the projects according to schedule and very active in terms of consolidation. That will be a reality also in the sector, especially now after 579 provisional measures. So this is an important moment in which CPFL restates its long-term commitment with the country, and we will be able to have our skills coming into play and being seen as very important by everyone in this moment of consolidation. So once again, I would like to thank you very much for your participation in this call. CPFL Energia's conference call is closed. We thank you for your participation and wish you all a very good afternoon. Thank you.